the Magna Carta, it basically it forms the kind of the basis for a lot of our law and our unwritten constitution in many ways, and the constitution of a lot of other countries as well, actually.
In many, many ways.
In so many ways that I'm not going to mention them all. No. But what we have done is we've knocked together a fun hour of Magna Carta stuff for you. Mm-hmm. And in preparation for that, a few days ago, Michael and myself took the time out for you chappies to go to Salisbury Cathedral. Now you're asking, why did you go to Salisbury Cathedral? What's that got to do with anything? Well, they have a Magna Carta there. So we stood outside the cathedral and we talked to local people about local things.
Very nice local people.
Very nice local, on the whole. And we asked them about some of the key themes of the Magna Carta. So we asked people what they thought of and what their definition was of things such as justice, power, equality, and what was the last one? Freedom. So we asked them what their thoughts were on those things, and we have a small piece to play on each of those things. So I think first we're going to play out the people of Salisbury's thoughts on equality.
The Oxford English Dictionary defines equality as a situation or state where all the members of a society or group have the same status, rights, and opportunities.
Maybe it's about equal opportunity to do certain things, yeah. As in lack of restriction, equal rights to do certain things, or equal amounts of freedom, maybe. It's a tricky one, equality, isn't it, yeah. As in some people more equal than others in certain societies, say, yeah. And maybe equality is lack of restriction to do certain things too, yeah. Equal opportunities, equal rights, yeah. It's a sort of balance, I suppose, yeah.
Equality is extremely, extremely important in society. I don't think we're there yet, but equality is definitely the ability to converse with or just coexist with someone, anyone in society, and not have worry that you're going to be judged, that you're on an equal playing field, that you never have to worry about what people are going to say or think about what you do just because you may be a different gender, race, sexual orientation, or anything of the sort.
I would say equality is having an equal playing field, dependent on race and gender and other factors. We have a long way to go, obviously. There's pay discrimination and colour and stuff. So yeah, it's equality is coming to a nice balance where everyone respects each other and everyone gets an equal chance of the same opportunities.
Well, it's everybody has the same liberties
and responsibilities. Just put that in.
Equality is having the same opportunities as everyone else, regardless of anything, whether it be physical or mentored or anything. That's it.
Everybody with the same rights, no matter what their ethnicity is or anything like that.
So that was the first Magna Carta piece on one of the key themes of the Magna Carta, which was equality. Now, obviously, you joined me for the recording of those.
I did indeed.
Michael, very enjoyable day it was too.
Oh, great day out.
Great day out to Salisbury.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
But I'm interested to know, and you'd be an expert on this by now, having heard so many other people's views. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on equality?
Well, as a lot of those people said, equality is an extremely important thing in society. The thing that came up when we did this was how hard these things are actually to define.
Yeah.
So I'll have a go at it.
Okay, good.
Equality, I would see as the kind of... What it's really hard to do is to describe equality without using the word equal. It's almost impossible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I was about to say, you know, it's everyone having equal opportunities and equal rights and equal liberties and stuff. Yeah, it's just about everyone having the same opportunities in life, really. The same kind of judgment and the same treatment from all people. And as those people said, it's an extremely important thing.
Yeah.
And we need to kind of promote it and work on strengthening equality within our society.
Sure. It's a much trickier concept than people give it credit for.
Mm.
And what you were saying about how hard it is to define some of these things, I think is actually a real problem, because we all recognise like how important they are,
yeah,
but at the same time don't quite know what they mean.
Mm.
And so if you've got something that's so important but you can't even define it, then you're in a very tricky situation,
yeah,
I think.
No, yeah.
And so, yes, I think it does encompass ideas such as equal opportunity. And you're right, it is very hard to talk about equality without actually using the word
equal
and then you're just using a word to define that same word.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we're so desperate to cling on to equality as a thing that we forget difference between people, and there's a danger of taking it too far the other way and trying to homogenize everyone and take it to the extent that all people are the same in the sense that they have, you know, the same personality or they have the same wants and needs, which I don't think is true, and everyone is inherently different. So yeah, I think one needs to be careful when defining equality not to take that to the extent that they forget difference.
Mm.
Should we play our next piece from outside Salisbury Cathedral,
mm-hmm,
on another key theme of the Magna Carta, which is freedom?
The Oxford English Dictionary defines freedom as the quality of the will or the individual of not being totally constrained, able to choose between alternative actions in identical circumstances.
Ah, that's a difficult one, because, I mean, freedom, you know, one man's freedom might be offending someone else, so it's freedom to do certain things, but it's hard to say what freedom is in a way. I guess freedom is sort of lack of control, maybe, but then how far do you go with sort of freedom? You know, you can't have free-for-all in what you're doing. You need to have some rules in society. So, yeah, it's a tricky one, yeah.
Well, yeah,
it's something we take for granted, freedom, in a way, when this country, isn't it?
Certainly,
compared,
yeah,
to other countries, yeah.
It's the ability to have a choice and to be... Oh, God. I don't know. I said something quite good the other day.
Yeah, maybe freedom is the rights of the person to do certain things as opposed to the state power or whatever it is, sort of restricting them from doing particular things, yeah.
Oh, well, I think we're pretty good as regards freedom. Freedom of speech, usually.
That reminds me of that Scottish film.
Freedom!
Braveheart, that's the one. Yeah. Freedom. Well, that's the ability to do what you want, but within the confines of society.
You can do what you want. You can go to the shop. I don't know. You could rob somebody. I don't know. Like, it's your choice. You're free to do that. There may be consequences afterwards of your actions, but you're free to make that choice. You can eat chips or you can eat a broccoli.
Not to be imprisoned without due reason.
Freedom is having the choice to make your own decisions and not be forced into a decision by someone else that you don't particularly want to do. I think that's kind of the main important part of freedom.
Freedom. I would say freedom is the possibility to live the way you want to live and to, just don't... let me think of it, sorry. It is quite difficult to say in a few words. Just to be free and not be treated from other persons like the way they want you to live.
Being able to go where you wanted to go and safely.
So that was freedom. And we've been joined in the studio by the wonderful Joe Tyler.
Freedom. I used to say when I was younger, I didn't know why passports existed when I was younger. I used to ask my mum, why did we have to have a passport to go from one country to another?
Mm.
And so I suppose my notion of freedom at that point was that we should be able to travel and go anywhere that we wanted to.
Mm.
That's my kind of notion of freedom.
Mm.
So I think whenever I hear the word freedom, it's always in a positive light. But actually, some of the stuff that some of the guys said in the recording there reminded me that there is kind of, there's almost this dark side to freedom. Mm. And what one of the guys saying there was that, you know, absolute freedom could include the choice to, you know, go out and commit heinous crimes and that kind of thing.
Yeah, to rob a bank was his words, weren't they?
Yeah. And those kind of things. And so I think that actually the next piece that we're going to play, which is about justice, is really important because that tempers the freedom and makes freedom a positive thing. Mm. So should we play the piece on justice now?
Yes.
The Oxford English Dictionary defines justice as maintenance of what is just or right by the exercise of authority or power, assignment of deserved reward or punishment, giving of due deserts.
That's a tricky question, isn't it?
It is a tough question.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows that if you do things wrong, obviously you've got to get punished for it, but other than that, I can't think of why you'd have justice.
I guess sort of fair treatment by law for everyone, yeah.
Right.
As in no sort of mistreatment, yeah. Yeah, fair treatment by law, yeah.
I think justice is making sure that if you have the freedom to make your own decisions, you then have to accept the consequences, and justice can be a part of those consequences, especially if whatever you have done is against the law or is in out of lines of society. I think it's a kind of not only punishment, but making sure that people who do good are in turn rewarded as being good.
That's a hard question. It all depends on who you are. The lower down you scale you are, perhaps you don't get as much justice as you should.
Justice, again, is making sure that you get your just deserts, but not in any way which is unfair. So there's fairness involved there.
So, like I said before, with freedom, if you've got the choice to do something bad, if you want to do it, like I said, rob somebody, if you do that, then the person who it affects or the people it affects should have this peace of mind that you have been punished in a way that fits your crime. So, yeah, it's getting peace of mind that if something wrong is done to you, that not necessarily something bad happens to the other person, but that you feel that everything's reached a state of zen, I suppose. Everything's equal.
Justice. Mm-hmm. Difficult topic nowadays, I would say. I think there are a lot of different opinions about it. I would say justice should be always in sense of the law which is in place, and not for example, if there's a murderer or something, there are opinions about justice that they should be killed as well, but I think it's not that easy. So it should be the law which is in place in the
Justice is the consequence of following through the law.
Justice? Not to be judged till you're found guilty.
So that was justice. The thoughts of the people of Salisbury on the theme of justice.
The people of Salisbury have spoken.
They have indeed. Tom, what are your thoughts on the theme?
The theme of justice. So, as I was saying about freedom, how that's often cast in a positive light, I think sometimes we think of justice as kind of limiting and those kind of things. But I don't think it is. When justice is properly properly carried out, it's actually not at odds with freedom. It's not at odds with concepts such as love and those kind of things. It's the other side of the same coin, and it allows those things to prosper because it introduces fairness into those into those concepts. And you know, yes, it does temper them, but in the way that, you know, kind of rules temper a game of football. Do you know what I mean? Because you might think the rules are limiting, but no, they make things make sense.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I think when justice is applied into these other kind of libertarian concepts, it actually makes them much better rather than holding them back.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of acts as a, it's like this human construct of, so everyone's free to do whatever. And what came up in the last one was the idea that someone could be free to just go and rob a bank. Mm. And obviously everyone is free to do that. But justice then kind of acts as this human constraint that sort of tempers and controls that freedom.
Sure.
In a way. And as you said, it's not always negative. It can be, you know, it sort of sets boundaries and it kind of helps people to live a life where you're not being detrimental to someone else or hurting someone else kind of thing. So.
Peter Kosminski was talking at BU last week, the director of Wolf Hall, and obviously how Thomas Cromwell basically, you know, Christianity, 500 years, people were being beheaded. You know, that was justice. Mm. And scarily enough, Islam is still in that state now. Mm. So in 500 years' time, will we be in a state of balanced justice? Will we have that balance, or will there be something else that people are meeting out? Yeah. So that's kind of where I stand on that sort of thing.
The final piece we're going to play is not so much a theme of the Magna Carta.
No, we've got.
Have we still got one more?
You jumped the gun there. Sorry, I jumped the gun.
Well, it is a theme of the Magna Carta.
It is indeed.
It's the theme of power.
Yeah.
The Oxford English Dictionary defines power as control or dominion, or a position of control, dominion, or authority.
If somebody's given power, sometimes it has to be given to somebody, doesn't it? By common consent, in order to do certain things, I suppose, but... Depends what you mean, but it depends on the definition of what you think power is, really, doesn't it? You know, power, the ability to do something. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's a difficult question.
All right. No, they are really very. And it's interesting because, like, yeah, they're words that we use every day.
Yeah. Yes.
But when you actually define them, it is very hard.
Power is the ability to carry through a choice. I don't know.
Power? I don't know. It's difficult. Mm. Yeah. I can't think of. Nobody should have power over everybody else. Not one person. Mm-hmm. It should be. Everybody has power, their own power.
Yes, it's the ability to have your direction followed through. So very powerful people don't. No one stands up to them. Well, no, they have their... If you have a lot of power, you're able to have things your way.
Power is when somebody has too much say as opposed to other people in a system.
Power would be the ability to have influence over people. So there's a range of power, that's right. Because there's the really powerful, like Rupert Murdoch. And then there's me. I haven't got much power in the grand scheme of things. So, yeah, it's the ability to make other people come to your point of view, I'd say.
Well, that's the ability to do what you like irrespective of other people.
Be able to influence or control other people, I suppose, which is, yeah, the flip side of freedom, isn't it? So people having power about what you can and can't do. You know, be able to control your lives, maybe, and what you can do and... wake of work and live and things like that.
I think power is respect, really, and I don't mean necessarily, obviously it's important for someone who is powerful to have the respect of others, but it's also self-respect. You can be empowered from within and just have it by respecting yourself, and it's kind of important to relate back to all the other ones of freedom, and having respect for yourself allows you the ability to do what you want.
So that was the theme of power
there.
What are your thoughts on power?
My thoughts on power are, well, again, this is, it's funny because all of the themes that came up they were kind of either painted in a positive light, like freedom certainly was and equality was.
And then there's against.
Justice was kind of more on the fence. And then power was seen as quite a quite a negative thing, and a lot of people were talking about power is usually a bad thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, we have sayings like power corrupts, you know, total power corrupts totally, and those kind of things. But I don't think power is necessarily a bad thing.
Mm.
And if it is kept in check by justice and by things like equality and things and like freedom. We have, like the vote, keep power in check.
Mm.
So certainly I think power can run rampant. And I think people nail it on the head, really, when they say that power is the position of having influence over whether that be a person or a thing or whatever. But I think that can be a positive thing if that influence is positive.
Yeah, that's true. But you can understand kind of why people paint it in a bad light when in the 20th century alone there was a lot of people came to power and did really awful things
In
Germany and Russia. So, I mean...
Yeah, I think you think of the dictators, kind of, don't you?
When you think of power, you think of you know, Hitler, and you kind of go towards the negative aspects, but as you said, again, there are positive aspects. We now move on to
Our final theme.
The final theme of the Magna Carta.
Which isn't so much a theme of the Magna Carta as it is a theme of making a piece about the Magna Carta. it's kind of a truism of doing vox pop pieces that a lot of people just don't want to talk to you.
No, we had a lot of rejection.
So our final theme is rejection.
The Oxford English Dictionary defines rejection as the act of throwing out as useless or worthless, to discard or to rebuff.
Is there any chance you can answer a couple of questions for us?
I don't know anything about the language.
They're very vague questions. You don't need to really have any knowledge.
No, thanks. It's a waste of time.
All right.
Not really. My husband's waiting for me. Okay,
that's no problem. Go ahead.
And I'm probably not the kind of person you want, because I'm a sort of semi-official. I'm involved with the Magna Carta.
Oh, really?
You probably want general punches.
General rating. Public. Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
So
all
sorry.
Right. No, that's all right. Thank you.
I don't think we've got time. Thank you.
No? All right. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, sorry. I haven't got time.
Okay.
Oh, God, don't ask us.
Oh, really?
So that was us getting rejected outside the church in Salisbury.
Cathedral.
One better. Sorry.
Yeah. So we are now joined in studio by with Tiana.
Hi.
Great to have you with us. So you've been doing research recently on the Magna Carta, and particularly how it relates to kind of political history, its contributions towards concepts such as Parliament, the creation of the House of Commons. And generally the vote that we enjoy today. So could you talk a bit about what you found?
Yeah, sure. So the Magna Carta was first written in 1215, and it was a reaction by the nobles to King John and how he had been running the country. He'd been a really bad king. He'd been spending a lot of money, increasing taxes for no obvious gain of the people and the knights, most importantly. And he wasn't listening to what the knights were saying. And they all banded together and they kind of forced him into this kind of documentation, which we now know as the Magna Carta, which was a lot of things that were quite basic at the time to us, but to them it was very important. So land rights, when people die, how their money's taken care of, a lot of things now which actually we don't really use anymore. But what's important about the Magna Carta today, and why we still find it a really important document in politics as well as law, is that it instigates, yeah, it instigates the first kind of idea of everyone is susceptible to law. No matter if you're a king, if you're a knight, if you're a lowly beggar, there's no way you can escape from the law. It also gives things such as habeas corpus, which is the idea that nobody can be imprisoned for more than 24 hours. And if the court asks for them, I think in Latin it means if you can produce a body, if the court asks for them at any point after 24 hours, they must be produced. And it's really important. And it was redrafted about 3 times. And I think his son, who I'm not sure, I think it was Edward or Henry, I'm not sure.
So many Edwards and Henry, yeah. Aren't they? It's outrageous.
Yeah. His son, King John's son, he had the last say over the final draft of the Magna Carta because it was redrafted 3 times. And actually, he was kind of like, nope, I don't want to sign this. I'm going to back out of this. You know, I've promised, I've said you can go back and redraft it, but I'm not going to sign it. And a very important duke called de Montfort, yes, his name was de Montfort, yeah. Had another revolution. And this basically led to the provisions of Oxford, which established our first House of Commons, which meant that shires or like places in the country would come, and they would come as commoners, not as knights or people of royalty, and they would come and be able to air their grievances and say how they wished their country or place to be changed. And the way that people would be elected to that is people who owned land that was more than 14 shillings would be able to vote for the people they sent to the House of Commons, which is, you know, basically what's happening tonight. Well, the fact that, you know, I don't own land that is more than 14 shillings, so it's extended. But that's how we really got the first ideas of voting for people into Parliament. That's not really to say that Parliament that they had then was anything like we have now, which is, you know, very democratic. Mm-hmm. It's very kind of the idea of, you know, no one's going to be buying your votes. No one's going to be saying, well, if you don't vote for me, I'm not going to give you any food. It's changed. And the real reason for that was the Magna Carta really, for the English people, was a starting point of where people fought for their rights and said, actually, people who are ruling us aren't going to be able to just get away with murder anymore. We need to have a say in how we're kind of run. I know I'm really going on about this right now. Stop me when I'm like, you know, going off on a tangent. But is there anything you want to ask me specifically?
Well, in terms of just kind of discussion, I think what I find when I read the document is that it reads like a much more recent document than it is. It's actually really quite progressive in terms of the times when it was written, you know, 13th century, early 13th century England we're talking, and it's talking about, you know, these ideas such as freedom and like curbing royal power, which we don't think of really coming in until like the Stuarts, really. No, but it's so much earlier than that. But then I also kind of think, was it almost too progressive? Because it obviously did have a hard time finding traction. Certainly John, you know, signed it, but then didn't really live up to it. And then it struggled with the next few kings as well.
Yeah. If you look back from John, you'd see that everything is kind of, in terms of kings, they had absolute power. It wasn't the case that, you know, I think it's interesting you said it's very modern, because it is modern and it is forward thinking. And I think the point that society was at now, that at that point, if they hadn't, then there would have been a serious problem. Mm-hmm. Monarchs at that time had absolute power. They could, if they came past your house and they wanted it, it wouldn't be a case of, oh, you know, you have a couple of days, or, you know, go and find somewhere else to live first and then I'll take you. It was, I'm taking your house. Yeah. I don't really care where you go. I don't care what you do. If you have a family in there, if I like your wife, if I want your children as slaves, if I want my world like this, then that's how it's going to be. You don't have a say. And people who were making, who were giving the kings and queens, well, kings at this point, the money to sustain this kind of lifestyle, were kind of like, well, we're paying for this. We're giving you the money to fight your wars, to go on crusades, to pay for your luxuries, to pay for your food. And it's not fair that you can get away with basically blue murder and, you know, not have anything, you know, to come back on. So I think, yeah, it is interesting that it's very progressive, because it isn't too progressive, because there needed to be a change. There was time for that, and there was a need for change at this point. And I think it happened in the right way.
Do you think that England almost required a king as shocking as John to kind of drag it forwards in terms of these kind of things? You know, you hear... you know, things have to get really bad before revolutions happen and you see change and that kind of thing. Do you think we actually required a king like John?
Yeah, I think we did. We needed something that, you know, just really took the biscuit. Like, yeah. there needed to be a push. And there was. And it's interesting that his son followed and, you know, that push didn't stop. And I think if he had kind of relented, then we wouldn't really be in the place that we were now. So it is important that he was as terrible as he was, so that we can have the parliament which we enjoy today.
Mm. So guys, you've also looked a little bit at the Magna Carta, Ollie.
Mm.
Was there anything particularly that jumped out to you?
Well, I was going to talk about habeas corpus.
Okay.
Which was, but you covered it very well in terms of what it was. I think in terms of a interesting idea that I've had is we tend to not put our power into things like people. There is a sort of a tradition of putting the power into the things that people hold. So, for example, we remember the monarch as the crown, the throne, the staff, and the small ball with a cross on it, which
yeah. the orb.
Yeah. But your name's better.
Small cross with a ball, yeah, with a cross on it, and we put, that's what we kind of imbibe with the powers of state and absolute power. Our objects rather than people.
Yeah.
Although the people who wield them kind of have, you know, certain privileges. It's interesting at this point that there's a document which supersedes the object, so another object, a document, so giving law language, giving power language, as well as sort of status. I think it's quite interesting that it's we remember the Magna Carta perhaps more so than we remember the people who bought around the Magna Carta.
Yeah,
and we remember that sort of that separation, that devolvement of power from the crown. We remember King John. But actually what we remember truly is that sort of devolvement from the crown. So I think that's a very interesting thing about all this, is the power that objects hold and the power we imbibe objects with.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very philosophery and dumb. On top of that.
Yeah. It's interesting because habeas corpus, especially in law, it was, you know, the first kind of thing to, as you said, give power to the people. And it's echoed in everywhere. You can see it in the American Constitution. Mm. You can see it in African constitutions after their release from colonization in the 1960s. You can see it in the EU human rights. It echoes everywhere because it's like the first fundamental rights of humans. So humans, like, very... I like taken away from the view of it, but yeah, it's true. So yeah, I think habeas corpus and everything that the Magna Carta stood for was exceedingly important.
There is an interesting thing. When I visited the House of Commons way back when I was a scrawny teenager.
Way back when?
I was never a scrawny teenager.
I can't imagine
that. I was rather a stubby teenager. But one of the things they talked about when we were kind of being led round is they showed us the Magna Carta and they say this is the closest thing we have to a written constitution. Because for the most part, we're not the only country who doesn't do it, but Britain doesn't have a written constitution.
Yeah.
No.
That's why we have Parliament. That's why we have the House of Lords. That's why we have the Magna Carta. It's interesting because, especially when, because the Magna Carta has the habeas corpus paragraph in it, the law, but also we can see that law change. For example, detainment times, detainment without being charged. In England has moved from sort of 24 hours to 6 weeks, if I'm So it's interesting how even though we kind of have this guideline, that guideline can change. It's not a constitution. There's no constitutional right. It's just a right of sorts in the Magna Carta.
Yeah, and it is kind of malleable.
Mm.
Yeah, that is interesting. The other thing I found quite interesting in kind of reading it is that the wording, I feel, slightly walks on eggshells around the king. Because it starts off with things like, you know, John graciously king by, you know, under God and those kind of things. Yeah, you get the feeling that they realise how kind of big the things that they were saying were by the fact that they were sort of tempering it a bit by saying, you're still king.
Well, this is a king that absolutely used his right to absolute power.
Hmm.
This is a kind of a tyrant. You got to be careful what you say to a tyrant.
Yeah.
they have a tendency of not being palatable to new ideas or to dissension. So it's imagine trying to write something like that. Imagine trying to write a document where you say, "We need you to stop being as terrible as you're being."
Yeah.
But you're fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very difficult tightrope to walk.
And also what they had to think about was the fact that King John's boss, in a way, was the Pope.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's why all that godly stuff comes in, because if they hadn't said it, like, it would have been more of a reason to be like, well, you know, this is so ungodly. Yeah. I think now, as a nation, we're so like, oh, you know, if someone says, oh, that's so ungodly, you can't say that, people will be like, okay, like, I don't really care, I'm going to say it anyway. But then it was exceedingly important, and it shows, because the first or second write-up of the Magna Carta, the Pope saw it and was kind of like, no. Like, you, absolutely not. I believe he called it shameful. Yeah, he said shameful. He said, like, absolutely not. And he wrote this massive letter, document back to the nobles about how, you know, actually this Magna Carta was disgusting and shouldn't ever be, you know, put anywhere. So I think the Magna Carta is incredible because it comes in a period where it's so difficult to get all this down. It's so difficult to be heard, because England on its own was not England on its own. King John, yeah, he was, you know, ruler of all. He had this absolute power, which he did. But, you know, they had to think of everyone else around them. They had to think of how France would react, Spain would react, Rome would react. Because at any point, if Rome really got, like, gusto under this, they could have said, right, France, Catholic nation, come, let's invade England, let's sort them out, get rid of this Magna Carta, kill all these knights, replace them with French or Spanish ones who will listen to me and won't change how the status quo is, and change how England would look over the whole of the period. So it's an incredible document for that, as well as many other reasons.
What I now have is a short Magna Carta quiz that I want everyone in this room to take part in. Obviously not me, I know the answers. I think what I'm going to do is get you two guys, Ollie and Michael, to answer first, because otherwise you're just going to have
I think I might know who the winner's going to be.
Answers.
I know who the winner's going to be.
So,
it's not me.
And if you've been listening carefully, you know, some of the answers have come out in that past discussion.
Okay,
so,
Ollie, we're a team.
I was terrible
you're not
at
a team.
Comprehension.
You're not allowed to be a team.
We're not a team.
No, you're pitted against each other. Ollie, you're going to answer this question first.
Okay.
In what year was the Magna Carta first drafted?
Oh, come on.
Dang.
I'm starting with an easy one.
I was busy working upstairs during this bit.
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely dead serious. 10?
Right.
What anniversary are we in?
Oh.
No, you can't. He's got that wrong.
10-14.
No. 10-14.
11-14. 15.
Right, Michael.
2015.
You got it wrong as well.
No, 12-15.
It was done this year.
12-15.
2015. Right. I'm down for 20.
12-15.
Michael, you've got one. Oh, Ollie's got nil.
Thank you for giving me that.
Presumably you would say...
Yeah, 12-15.
Yeah. I agree with Michael. Yeah. Okay. Under which king was it created, Ollie?
I know this one.
Go on.
King James.
Right, Michael?
King John.
Yeah.
King John.
We were talking about King John the whole time.
Ollie remains
Stuart's.
Zero.
I've been reading up about Stuarts for the last 30 minutes.
Briefly... What circumstances led to its creation?
King John was being terrible, and so they formulated a basic thing of human rights.
Michael?
Same thing as that would be my answer.
Okay. Anything to add?
No.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you all a point for that. That's all right. That's all right. Ollie, you've got 1 point now.
Nice.
What was King John's reaction to the Magna Carta? No, Michael,
oh, no,
you
we
go
first,
first.
Didn't we?
Michael,
what was King John's reaction to the Magna Carta? Didn't like it.
Didn't like it, okay, but what did he actually do?
He signed it.
Sure.
And then he wasn't happy about it.
Okay, and how did that unhappiness manifest itself?
He ripped it up into little pieces and went, don't do that again. No, I have not.
Is that verbatim? He didn't do that again. Don't. Ollie?
I think he might have done something like that, but...
Yeah, thank you.
You have to remember that actually the power isn't in the words, it's in the object. So well, even if you destroy the object, it's fine, it still exists.
I know he wasn't happy about it, but I think someone just put a sword to him and was like, do it. And he was like,
did
okay.
They? Really?
Well, yeah, they were just kind of like, well, you've lost this war, so...
But how did he show his unhappiness towards it?
Oh, well, I guess he wrote to the Pope and kind of was like... I have a niggle with this and I would like you to comment. And the Pope said no.
I'm going to give you all half a point for that.
Nice.
Because John kind of...
Your dubious half points.
He did sign it, but he signed it...
Begrudgingly,
and basically to buy time.
Yeah.
didn't follow it at all.
Forgot that his time
and got the Pope to back him up.
Yeah.
And if the Pope backs you up, sorry, mate.
Sorry, mate.
I'm still a little That's dubious about your half points. I'm still a little sore from the time you asked me to name all seven of the seven evil exes.
You're still going about that? That was months ago, Ollie.
I got all but two, right. And I got the names
the
of
the listener. Okay, does not know half a point. What you're talking
we're
about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't worry, neither do I. Let's get back to the quiz.
Whose rights does the Magna Carta protect?
Mine.
Ollie's.
Okay.
That's our answers.
That's your answer, yeah. Okay.
The rights of the knights at the time, right?
Correct. Ooh. So it's technically free men. So it would not have applied initially to kind of serfs.
Really?
Such as myself.
Such as Ollie. Ollie so the serf.
We were both wrong then.
Next page of questions.
How many questions are there?
We've got four more.
Okay, keep going.
In fairness, I feel like you probably have more riding on it than myself and Michael.
Yeah. My tutor's downstairs. You don't know this?
So if you've been listening, you will know the answer to this question.
Okay.
Who damned the document as shameful?
The Pope.
Yeah.
The Pope.
Bonus points for naming.
Does anyone know which Pope?
I'm going to go Benedict the Fifth.
Wrong.
I'm going to go Pope Clementine the Unready. I don't know the names of popes.
The Unready?
The Unready.
Okay.
Like... Ulthred.
Do you know which pope it was?
No.
He was Pope Innocent, but I don't know if he had a if he was
a monarch. Innocent.
Yeah. Mm. But Pope Innocent. I think he's the only Pope Innocent, so he doesn't have the second or whatever.
I thought that was it. Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
I think.
Okay. I love the naming of popes
because name that.
There's a good old thing where they're not naming them after saints anymore, and they're naming them after
like just things. Innocence. Abstract concepts. Yeah. Okay, this is a fun one.
Okay.
What did Oliver Cromwell cleverly call the Magna Carta? So I'll give you a hint.
I know this.
Do you actually
know this?
Okay, I'm going to go with the Magna Farta.
It's the Magna Farta.
Is it?
Because Oliver Cromwell was just the worst person. He once started, at the signing of the death warrant of Charles II, he started an ink fight. In Parliament. They were flicking ink
flicking
at each
fountain
other.
Pens, that's great.
Guys, you are correct.
Really?
He called it the Magna Farta. Yeah.
He's awful.
He really is.
He's
hilarious.
Would you have got that, do you reckon?
No.
I'm only going to give the point to... Oh, no, because you guessed it, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give one to you as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Oliver Cromwell is the forerunner of the lad.
He is.
He's forerunner of the lad. His entire reign in Parliament was just nothing but cheeky bants.
Really?
Cheeky band.
Cheeky lad band. No, what's the next question?
The next question is...
I want to roll.
Which of the following countries did not use the Magna Carta for the basis of its constitution?
Okay.
The US of A. New Zealand. Australia. India.
Can I go?
Yeah.
I reckon USA.
Okay. Michael?
No.
No.
The USA did use it. I'm going to go New Zealand.
I was going to go New Zealand.
USA is just because they've already got their own constitution.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was based on
the Magna Carta.
Oh, it was the basis. I thought the actual Magna
Guys, sadly, you're all wrong. It was India.
Oh, no.
That would have been my next answer.
Makes sense.
And I almost can't be bothered to ask the next question because it's what anniversary is the Magna Carta celebrating and you all know it.
800?
Yeah.
800.
Yeah.
800.
Whoa, give us points. Give us points.
That is the end of the Magna Carta quiz. And the scores on the doors are Ollie has 3.5.
Yeah.
But you guys both have 5.5. So well done, joint winners.
Great job.
Congratulations, guys.
High five.
High fives.
So that was out of how many questions?
That was out of 8 questions.
Oh,
not bad.
Yeah. Not bad. Tiana, thank you very much for coming on
the show.
Thank
you for having me.
It's been really good to have
Somebody
Fantastic. Who knows a bit of stuff about stuff.